We are joined now by Neville Medor. Grew up in Houston, Texas, and from middle school started experimenting with different little hustles to make money, selling burned CDs, spray painting curb numbers, power washing driveways and homes. Then the internet started to make waves in high school, and he started a couple of websites just as experiments. One of them, houseofrave.com, actually started making money, and by college he was making enough money to pay his tuition at the University of Texas. He started nevblog.com simply to track his own income and improve it. It turned out to be the only blog of its kind at the time. It was a financial blog that listed all the income he made, keeping a running net worth tally, and was not written under a pen name. Constantly starting new and small businesses throughout college, Neville didn't see the point of getting a real job, and still has never had one. After studying marketing and copywriting to improve his own business, Neville has recently become a semi-famous copywriter, another stream of income he enjoys, and as always, makes money from the laptop. Neville lives in Austin, Texas, enjoys his downtown view apartment, three guitars, and making a living without having a real job. So, Nev, thanks for joining us today. How are you doing? That's good. So now I've been reading your blog for years and years and years. I think I started about 2005 or so. So I've been a fan for a while. So it's good to have you on the show. And lots of interesting things that you do on the website. Can you just kind of explain, you know, kind of talked about how it started. What has it kind of evolved into, and what do people get when they come to visit it?
Well, it actually started on the Blogger platform. You remember that free Blogger platform?
Sure.
It started on that, and it was really just a way to track my income. There was really, I had an Excel spreadsheet and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, you know what? I'll just put it in blog format so I could track every day what I'm doing, and I'll just post my income. I didn't expect anyone to read this. I had no intention whatsoever of anyone reading this. And somehow through the Blogger platform, people just started, there was comments people were leaving, and I was like, where are these people coming from? What stalkers are these? And sure enough, it just kind of grew. And I found out, a little bit after that, there's this whole community of financial bloggers that post about their debt and all that kind of stuff. And I was somehow lumped into those kind of people.
Okay.
And so after that, it started getting over 1,000 hits a day. And then at peak, it was getting about 3,500 unique visitors a day. So 3,500 people a day would come and read my stuff and see my finances. And so it kind of became a bit of a authoritative financial blog at one point.
Okay.
Completely by accident.
And so now it's kind of evolved. You don't really post those things anymore as things have kind of gotten a little more personal,
well,
I guess.
Keep copying me.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah, in case your audience doesn't know, I would openly, if I found a way to make money, if I found a certain site or something like that, I'd be like, oh, I made this Facebook fan site and I put these ads on it and blah, blah, blah. And the next day I'd see 10 copies of it, you know?
Sure.
So naturally, to keep the competition out, I kind of stopped talking about that as much, but I still do.
Okay. And now your blog has been interesting. You do a lot of interesting experiments, kind of social experiments, financial experiments, all these different things, and that's really become pretty popular for you. I know I enjoy reading those. You spent a week, was it, homeless?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's interesting.
And before that, I got a bum, excuse my language, to sell bottled water on the side of the road for me.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk to you about that because, it's a money-making idea. And we've had – I interview, usually a blogger or author or something on personal finance or in finance at every show. It's a weekly show. And we've had so many people come on and say, add another stream of income. You have your job. That's fine. What happens if you lose that job? You need another stream of income. And you've given a lot of ideas over time. As you've had an idea that you don't want to do yourself, you just post it, and you have a whole section based on that. So let's kind of go over some of those now. Oh, go ahead. You had something?
Yeah, I made this post about money-making ideas without having money. So a lot of people have this poisonous idea that you have to have a lot of money to make money. But that's just, as you know, just not true. I mean, if you just put some hustle into it, you'll get money. So I was like, even bums can make money if they just do something very simple. And so I showed that you could take $5 and turn it into $30 or something. And so I got a $5 package of water with 24 or 30 bottles of water and got him to sell it on the side of the road. Surely with get this, in 30 minutes we sold out of all the bottled water, doing a bad job of selling. and so if you think about it, the guy could have made $25 in 30 minutes doing really not that much work in the summer.
Sure.
And we didn't even go out on a hot day. It was actually kind of a cloudy, mild day. If you go out in the hot Texas summer like it is right now, the guy would have made a killing. So I actually did that with the guy a couple of times and then learned other social reasons why bums are bums, and drugs. But But the point is, anyone can make money like that if they just put a little hustle into it and get creative.
Sure. And now some of the things you've had here, I'm just kind of go through them and maybe you can touch on them. And if you have any other ideas to throw out to people, because I really believe in this, because you see so many people that live paycheck to paycheck. So what if they were able to just bring in a couple hundred dollars more a month and throw it in their reserve? It's going to make a big difference.
Most of the people that want to do that are too damn lazy in the first place, unfortunately. But they absolutely can do stuff like that. I mean, it's really not that hard.
Sure. So you had some interesting things here. Handrail advertising, that was something that you don't see a lot of, but that's an opportunity. So you got some kind of off-the-wall things. Color-changing urinals, legal street racing, some things that might be a little more difficult to start. But selling waters, mowing lawns. I mean, how many people can use their lawnmower that they have for their home anyway, go out and mow a couple lawns a week?
Even more than that, I actually, in high school, one of the ways I used to make money, and like you do one job and sometimes come back with a wad of over $100 in your pocket, is power washing houses.
Okay.
I mean, this is stuff anyone can do, because a lot of people, I understand, don't have internet skills and maybe can't build a website.
Sure.
But I used to go and power wash homes, and I would borrow a power washer from a friend, or you can rent one from Home Depot for a few bucks,
Yeah.
And you can go around and power wash people's homes. And if you go around all day, you'll get a couple of gigs, and it'll be several $100s. I mean, this is more than a lot of people make at their real job.
Sure. Yeah.
And then I used to also, I actually did an experiment on the blog about this, about painting curb numbers on houses.
Okay.
You know how you have your little house signage and there's always that little curb number? A lot of times that's faded and worn and hasn't been replaced in 10, 20 years on a lot of houses. So I would go around and repaint those for people. And that was $25 a pop, sometimes $40, depending on what you negotiate.
Okay.
And if you think about it, that's, 10 minutes of work for $40. You go around, you get a couple of gigs. That's, that's $80, $120, sometimes $200 an hour. I mean, it's insane how easy it is to actually go make money if you put a little hustle into it.
Sure. And that's true. And I think the point here that you've made pretty well, and you have a whole section in your blog, nevblog.com, on different ideas for people to be able to do that. There was a couple making $100 a day where you did a post on that, just, some ideas just to do that. And there was plenty of ideas there too. So there is ways for people to do it. Like you said, if they want to expand a little energy and do that, you have to have that ambition, I guess. So,
it's just a little hustle. That's all.
Yep. All right. Now, you did an affiliate marketing experiment. I thought this was interesting too. It kind of lends some insight into how people make money through this. If people have their own websites, how they could potentially do it. But it's just another example of something you saw as an opportunity, spent a couple hours researching, and were able to do a successful job at earning some money from it. So maybe you could explain that to us.
Yeah, I used to go to this. I actually started that experiment because I thought it was so damn scammy. And it still looks like that. If you go to any of these affiliate sites or just type in affiliate marketing into Google, you'll find loads and loads of scammy-looking stuff. And I used to go to some of these marketing things, and a lot of people are affiliates. And I'd be like, okay, so what do you do? And I would want specifics, because if you're an accountant, you could say, well, I move money from this place to this place. And that's what you do. But these guys would never kind of give me a clear niche. I was like, okay, so what do I Google to find you? And they would never tell me. And I found out why in the experiment. So I did my own little experiment, researched affiliate marketing. And basically the point is, like, let's say you, Chris Gaddis, sell bananas, and I go out and sell one of your bananas. And I'll get a little bit of a cut, and you'll get the other part of the profit.
Okay.
So that's affiliate marketing, essentially. You sell something for someone else. And
yeah.
It's usually, like, online products. And so what I did was I researched the niche and found out these, like, electronic cigarettes. I don't even know what they are. I've never even seen one in my life. But it just seemed like a good niche at the time on one of those affiliate networks. And I put up an affiliate site, and within the first month, it made like $1,000. And so this is like a really popular way to make money online, all that kind of stuff. I had no intention of pursuing it. But it's funny, just like that little experiment, believe it or not, till this day, that experiment was several years ago, I still get checks for $60 like every 2 weeks.
Really?
From a company called Green Smoke. I have no idea even why I'm getting these checks. All I know is that I'm not going to refuse free money.
Sure.
but yeah, I did that just to see what would happen. And I put up a few sites. It took a great – I did a couple of posts about it, maybe 6 or 7 posts in that experiment. And it made money. And this was all in a very short period of time that I figured this all out. And it's just like these little experiments I do on the blog – they're just for fun, really. I'm just curious. I really have no intention of making money with them. But almost all the time, they always end up making money for me somehow. It's really interesting that if you just keep doing stuff, like, stuff happens.
Stuff begets stuff, I guess, huh?
You put a little input, you get output.
All right, great. all right, and also, I wanted to touch on this. You had a car accident, and I thought it was just something that people should... I read an article a little bit earlier that 36% of people, 64% of people don't even have $1,000 in their cash reserves for an emergency in their household. And now you had a little bit of an emergency. Obviously, you got hit by someone that didn't have car insurance. Can you explain how that situation went and really what the result of it was and why people should pay a little more attention to these things?
Well, for the first part, that was the best car accident ever, because as I got in the accident, I remember seeing the guy crossing like all these lanes of traffic and people dodging him, and I was the lucky guy to hit him. And before my car stopped moving, I had my camera in my right pocket. I pulled it out, undid my seatbelt, got out of my car, and immediately started videotaping. And I did post that video because there was a lot of foul language in it, because I was so pissed off. And the guy didn't speak English, and didn't have insurance, all that kind of stuff. Everyone was okay, fortunately. But the interesting thing is I did have cash reserves, and I ended up buying a Lexus fully in cash right after that. I had a Toyota Camry, and I bought a Lexus GS300 right after that. And that was completely in cash. I initially decided on that blog post that I wrote about it that I was going to take out a loan just to improve my credit. I didn't really know anything about credit at the time. Then when I actually checked my credit after that, I realized I did have good credit already, and I didn't need to. And so I save all the time. Any money I make, I put a portion of it away in all these different savings accounts, and one of them is just called the emergency account, just like a doctor bill, anything like that goes into that account. And fortunately, from those emergency accounts, I bought a new car in cash. I didn't have to worry about it. Of course, I got a little bit from the insurance too, but having that money is a really, really freeing process.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, getting in a wreck and kind of, you know, have a car, and I live in Texas, and you have to have a car to get anywhere. I mean, that's usually a really crippling thing, but whenever you have some extra money laying around, and seriously, it's from saving like a few $100 a month here and there, and it just adds up. You don't use it, and after a while, something big like this comes up, and it's so great to have that extra income.
Yeah, and it helps you going forward too, because you didn't have to take out that loan. You were able to save all that interest, all those different things that really, you know, hurt you even more in the future. And so, you know, I keep trying to stress this to people. Hopefully they'll start on.
Well, also, I mean, if you have a car account, save with cash, you can actually go on Craigslist and pay cash for a car rather than taking out a loan and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I actually got a great deal on my car because I literally showed up at the guy's house with an envelope full of $100 bills. and there's nothing like a wife seeing $100 bills to make her say yes. that's a great negotiating tactic.
Sure. Yeah, no, it is. People know they, you know, just get rid of it, I guess. All right, and also now we talked about your copywriting skills. Is something, again, nothing you studied in college or anything. You picked up a book, searched some websites, learned some information on copywriting. And I think this is a very unique skill that's important to a business owner to improve their business, as there's so many people out there competing for that customer's business. So kind of explain the process, what you learned, how it can help people, maybe if you have some tips for people on using that skill.
Before, I have a business called houseofrave.com, which sells light up and glow stuff online. It's just a drop shipping business. And I realized it has this big email list, and at the time it had 7,500 people on it, give or take a few. And I was hanging out with all these marketing people, and they're always talking about monetizing their list. And if you've ever seen anything about online business on YouTube or anything, they always talk about monetizing your list and all that kind of stuff. And like, that just seemed like a buzzword to me, because I used to send out these like really fancy emails with all these pictures and stuff, and people would click on them, but no one would ever buy anything. I would put a 25% coupon, and no one would use it. Like, 7,500 people is pathetic. And so I started reading on how to actually do this, and I came across a couple names. And this is one name that, if you want to change your life, look this up, Gary Halbert. So Gary Halbert, I typed in his name and found out the Gary Halbert letters, and he's dead now, but all his letters are online for free. And he used to send out this newsletter in the 80s, before the Internet even existed. And I started devouring these letters because they talk about direct response, which is, you know, actual physical mail, kind of like spam mail, basically. And I applied all those concepts to my email. And I actually did this experiment on my blog where I sent out my first Gary Halbert-style email to my 7,500 people on the House of Rave list. Normally, I'd get two orders or something at max. I sent that email out on a Friday night at 9 p.m. At 11 p.m., I checked my phone, and it was just overwhelmed with orders. There was 80-plus orders or something like that.
Wow.
And I was actually at a party. I was a little tipsy, I have to admit, and I thought something was wrong with my phone. Because that's not normal. I would get that many orders in, you know, a month, not a day. And then when I got home, I realized that the total was 120 orders. I'd sold out of stock of that product that I was selling, these little finger lights, and that I had to take the sale down. And that's when I realized, wow, the only difference is what I wrote on that page.
Sure.
And that maybe the copy has something to do with it. And I wrote it totally different from the typical marketing stuff that I wrote before.
Okay.
And that's when I realized, like, wow, this copywriting stuff isn't so bad. So I started reading more and more and more and more and more. And then the oddest thing happened. This is why I say become a semi-famous copywriter, if anyone's interested in becoming one. Is I started, my friend runs a company called AppSumo, and they said it's basically like a Groupon for web geeks. They sell software and stuff like that. And they're doing really well, and I was looking at my friend's email, and I was like, wow, this is a terrible, terrible email that you're sending out. I can't believe people are even buying from this. And I said, let me try it out. Let me write it in my own style and see what happens. So he gave me like one of this one deal that was like not that great. It turned out to be one of their best-selling deals ever. And everyone in the company, including me at the time, we were all shocked by how well it did. And it was because the only difference they tested was the copy on the page. And so then we retested with different deals, consistently best-selling, just because of the way it was written. It was amazing. And so I started doing that for other people, including myself. I use it for my own business all the time. And that has been an amazing, amazing advantage, just writing good copy. And I just learned it from reading a couple of things online and buying a few books. I mean, the whole education probably cost me $80, you know?
Sure. Yeah, and it was worth
it. It's amazing that if you just put a little bit of effort into it, anyone could become a copywriter. It's really not that difficult. I was not an English major or anything of the sort ever.
And that's the thing, you know, a lot of people are looking for these advantages in their own business and kind of get stuck in the minutiae of running a business day to day. But, you know, spending that extra time at night when you get home and you know, researching this obviously paid dividends for you. And it's something that can do that for other people as well.
It's amazing that people are paying me $2,000 to write them 5 emails or something like that.
Yeah. You know? But
I still can't believe it. I just sit down on my little MacBook Air and bang these things out and they pay me. It's almost unbelievable. But it's directly tied to someone's return on investment.
Sure.
So if I send out a good email for them and they're converting at 1% response rate and then it goes up to 5 or 10% because of what I write, that makes that person a lot of money. So they're willing to pay me.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, again, you know, it shows again, and I mean, this was something you kind of just did off a whim, kind of looking at it. And this is, you know, it's almost a second career for you. It's, you know, at some point, another source of income for, you know, so if people are willing to take that time.
This source of income has quickly become my biggest source of income.
Really?
Surprisingly.
See?
Without me even really trying, which makes me think that something's going right.
That's the way it works usually.
Yeah.
And now again, you do these experiments. You had another experiment with lotto tickets. And, you know, I hate lotto tickets. So many people spend so much money on them. And, yeah, some people hit it big, but not very many people. So maybe you can explain that experiment and what you learned from it.
I honestly, I just thought that would be fun because I used to go to the grocery store and the side of town I live on, the grocery store I went to was a little bit on the lower end side. And I would just see massive amounts of people who could like barely afford the groceries still like go to that lotto machine and buy those scratch lotto tickets.
Sure.
And I mean, like we all know that that's a losing proposition, but come on, Chris, they're so fun to play.
They are fun.
My mom would give them to me for Christmas and stuff like that. They are fun to play. So I thought, you know, what if I buy 100 of them, I suppose I'd even the odds out, and I think like 1 in 4 of them wins. Like, at most, I'll lose $100 and have a good experiment out of it.
Yeah.
So I bought 20 lotto tickets from one gas station, 20 from another, 20 from another, just to, you know, make sure the odds were semi-even and fair. And I bought all the Super 8 lotto tickets. I have no idea what that is. I just bought the same kind. And I scratched 100 lotto tickets, which, by the way, Chris, you're doing it by yourself, is really, really boring. It is not fun at all. That's carpal tunnel after that.
Yeah.
And so I counted them up, and I would win a couple dollars here and there, and one of them won $50. And I came out of the experiment with a drum roll, a grand total of $102.
So you profited $2, huh?
So a $2 profit, which if you count all the time I spent and money driving to different gas stations looking for the Super 8, specifically, I suppose I probably went into the negative. But at the same time, I did come out with $102, and I spent $100. So, but I did that to prove that, you know, like, even if you buy that many, it's really, really unlikely that you'll ever make your money back.
I mean, sure.
Although in this experiment I did, but that's it's like a kind of an anomaly.
Well, Nev, it's been great. Like I said, I'm a big fan of the website, of the blog. I'll keep reading it. If anyone else wants to read it, nevblog.com. Lots of great stuff. You know, I mean, there's so much stuff on it because we've been doing it so long. So there's lots of great information. Is there anything you want to leave us with, Nev?
Yeah, if you really want to look through and not spend all your time, precious time reading my stupid blog, you can go to the timeline on the blog, and it pulls up a whole thing on the left with stuff I think you should read. And then you can just skip around instead of having to go back to the blog.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Hopefully we'll have you on again someday.
You too.
All right, have a good day. Bye-bye. And that was Money Train. I am your host, Chris Gaddis. Up next is Artie Martello with Mostly Folk.